The July 26th meeting of the Marine Resources Commission is reconvened here. We have made it to agenda item number 9. Mr. Anthony W. Martin et al. Mr. Stagg.
Okay. This is not exactly an et al., but I understand why you said it that way. This is actually 8 separate applications in various names, as you can see on the screen. Anthony Martin, Sue Martin, James Martin, John Martin, Anthony Martin, and some of these have the same name, have other people with them on them, so they are et als, but basically this is all part of the Martin family or their companies. So they did submit 8 applications in total. These are in the Chesapeake Bay, offshore of the city of Pocosin. 7 of them are for 250 acres each, and 1 is for 175 acres. They have been protested by petition that was signed by 50 individuals. It appears most of the signatures are residents of the city of Pocosin. So having said that, this is the location of the applications. This area south of this is an existing lease. These are existing leases out in the Chesapeake Bay. Almost all of these have been out there for decades. This one is so large because it is a number of leases that were combined into one plat. They were separate leases of smaller sizes. We are allowed by the code to do that, to combine leases that are contiguous to each other into a plat. And that was done with that lease, but it has been out there for a long time. So these are the actual Martin pending applications, and I'll talk about why this one's shaped oddly in a second. But they are located just northeast of Plum Tree Point. This is Back River to the south, and to the north and west is Pocosin River, and of course this is the Chesapeake Bay proper. And this area is just called Drum Island Flats out here. It is relatively shallow, even though it's out in the bay. The applications were submitted back in 2014. They were subjected to our normal public interest review. And in July of 2014, we did receive a petition with, as I said, 50 signatures. They did list a contact person, a Mr. Paul R. Bryan, who we corresponded with to notify him of the meeting. And hopefully he could let any of the petitioners know so they could be here today if they wanted to speak. The nature of the petition, which is in your packet, notes that the people that signed it state their disapproval for the leasing of the land, forestry planting ground in the Chesapeake Bay west. We divide the Chesapeake Bay up into east and west for applications near Plum Tree Island in the city of Pocosin. The petition went on to say that the leasing of this land would take away public access land to much of the community, as well as take away a spot for local fish watermen. Additionally, the petition also stated that the signees believe this lease would give the Martin family a monopoly over the Back River and Plum Tree Island area. The application does vary in depth from as little as 3 feet in some places to as much as 20 feet at mean low water. One of the applications, this triangular sort of shaped one here, does cross an actual shipping channel. Of course, this lease is in it too, but that lease is very old. And I'll address that later in my recommendation. Additionally, the lease to the south and these two leases that are the furthest to the west border on this area labeled danger zone. So that's the reason this one's shaped the way it is. It kind of follows this circular area here. And then, of course, goes up this other line that's part of the danger zone. So Plum Tree Point Island, whatever you want to call it, is an area where they tested and shot munitions in the past. There are potentially unexploded ordnances still on that island and out in the water adjacent to it. So that is marked on all the mariners' maps as a danger zone. And, of course, we don't feel that we should lease in there because it's a danger zone. So we don't want anybody dredging or anything in there and blowing themselves up, in theory. Each application does have to fill out a use plan questionnaire. That's part of the required to consider it complete. On all these applications, the They indicated they were going to use traditional on-bottom methods for these leases if granted. However, because it was protested and because we really haven't had any applications out in the Bay like this in recent memory, we have some other pending ones, but we haven't really assigned much in the way of ground out in the Bay like this in many, many, many years, many decades, really. We did ask Mr. Martin to provide us with the patriarch of the family that a little more detail of how he planned to use this ground, because it's a very large area that's being asked for. You know, it's over 2,000 acres when you combine all these together. On your desk, I put two documents while you were at lunch. The top one has Mr. Martin's name on it, and the second one is an email and a letter from BB&T Bank from a financial advisor at the bank written to me on behalf of a request, I think, from Mr. Martin. So the letter we sent Mr. Martin, which is in your packet, requested not only you know, a more detailed plan on how he planned to use all these areas or the applicants in general. And also, we did put in there a statement that you've been seeing in some of our evals recently on some of these really large applications that we question, you know, whether anyone has the resources to shell or seed an area this large, even just a 250-acre application. I think that was why I got the letter from the financial consultant and also some information back from Mr. Martin. I've had some other calls from other influential people indicating that they believe the Martins have the resources to accomplish something, you know, and that wasn't my intent of the letter to question whether they really had the resources. We just questioned whether someone would want to devote those kind of resources on barren ground and plant a lot of shell or seed on it, and could they even get that, no matter what their resources. There is a limited amount of shell available right now, as we all know, with Jim Weston's program. However, Mr. Martin did indicate in his letter that he wrote back that he did say that they basically didn't think there was anything on this ground at the moment. And his intention was to seed it with seed oysters from the James River. Now, I've had conversations with Dr. Wesson and myself, and we really questioned whether there's enough seed available in the entire James River to seed this much acreage out in the Bay. We also have some concerns, and maybe Vims may want to weigh on this, as to whether James River seed will survive out in the Bay. James River seed historically have been transplanted to other rivers since the beginning of moving seed, but this is not another river. This is the Chesapeake Bay. The salinity levels are different. And we're also talking about a pretty dynamic area here. This fetch is virtually unlimited to the southeast. This goes straight down to the mouth of the bay, and it's a long ways over to the eastern shore from here. So it's, and a lot of this, we believe, is sandy, hard bottom. So having said that, that, you know, it's going to lead us to our recommendation at the end. We have not, this is like Hank's previous one, we have not surveyed these. Because of the size of them and the environment these are in, we felt that we wanted to come to the commission and get some direction on how you want us to proceed with these, and we do have a recommendation. But this is a lot of manpower effort to go out there and survey these out in open water. The Martins would have to invest in either markers or buoys. So we wanted to bring these to you with some caveats of concerns we have, in addition to the protest, to see whether you want us to move forward, similar to Hank's project, where they will now go out and survey the Arsinoe and the Cadence applications. So having said that, when you hear my recommendation, it will have a caveat that should you tell us to move forward on any of these applications, they still have to be surveyed if that's the case, and they could be protested again for some additional reason once we set the corners out in the field. So having said that, again, I just want to reiterate that if this is going to be used for on-bottom activity, traditional, you know, we do question if there really is a business plan that could sustain the type of culch material or seed that would be required to make this ground productive and profitable. And we certainly don't want the Martins to spend a lot of money and lose it all. We do want people to grow oysters, and, you know, we do support that. But we do have some concerns about leasing this large of an area with the lack of available culture and seed material. Again, I noted this one that straddles the channel, so we definitely recommend against leasing that, and particularly the part that's in the channel, but the part that goes beyond the channel, it would cut it off into a kind of a smaller area, and we just really can't support that one at all, or at least the eastern part of it. As far as the protest, I'm not sure we really consider the objection that this creates some kind of monopoly as a valid objection. These are large applications, and there are a number of them, and they will preclude some uses of this area if it's leased. Obviously, the shellfish will be the Martins, whether there's any there or any they plant. People could still fish over it. It could still be crabbed over. It would restrict any fixed fishing device, though, if someone put in an application here, because once it's leased, then they'd have to have the leaseholder's permission to put a fixed fishing device here. And if this was an area where there was actually clamming going on publicly, you know, that would no longer occur, or oystering, and it was in some kind of public season where it could be worked, then obviously this would become the Martins, and that would not be allowed. So there would be some restrictions of the use. So we think that the protest is valid, but there's some parts of the protest that we're not sure are really applicable should you lease this ground. Having said all that, and after evaluating the multiple applicants' requests and weighing the concerns of those protesting it, and, of course, in my eval, it says, without a more detailed plan, we did get some additional information from Mr. Martin. That's in the letter that's in front of you. So we do believe we've gotten his plan, and I'm sure he's going to elaborate on that after I sit down. We cannot support leasing these areas, this large of an area. So we do recommend denial of all the application areas. However, if the applicant can provide additional information or rationale on the use of these areas that seems appropriate to the commission, we would suggest supporting leasing one or two or some smaller subset of these applications, contingent on what the commission deems is appropriate. However, we also would like to say that depending on the nature of any other activity on this ground, such as intensive aquaculture, such as cages and that type of activity, that perhaps the joint permit application might be another avenue or a better avenue. Now, the Martins are not saying that's what they want to do, but if they got this lease, they could do some type of on-bottom 12-inch, you know, cage-type structure. So that's another possibility in this environment versus these large applications. And a JPA doesn't require a lease. It would be a permit. Whatever they were going to do on it, shellfish-wise, would be a permitted activity. And we could put permit conditions in that where we can't on a lease. So having said all that, that is our recommendation. Again, if you do approve any portions of these applications, then they would still have to be surveyed, and there is some potential they could be brought back to the commission with a renewed protest by other entities. Hopefully you understand that, and I'll try to answer any questions.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Frantz.
Yes, Mr. Stagg. I was wondering, you said something about weren't sure if James River Seed would even survive.
I talked to Jim Wesson, and I think that's his opinion, and he can elaborate if he's in here and wants to, and also, you know, I'd be happy to hear what Vims thinks, but this is quite a different environment than the James River, and that's kind of what we base that on.
Dr. Wesson. Could you help out Mr. France here, please?
Sure.
Did I swear you in this morning?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Please proceed.
The James River Seed is born in low salinity, rarely sees maybe 15 salinity, and so it has absolutely no MSX tolerance and minimal dermo tolerance. And this would be moving into a very high disease, high salinity area that is just, they would not be adapted to, and you would have to shell it very well even before you put them there. And it's been a long-standing recommendation from VIMS that you don't move these seed to higher salinity areas, at least with that big of a difference. The other The other thing that happens when you move, we know parts of the Chesapeake Bay are, or at least we think, are developing resistance because they've been cut off. They don't have low salinity coming into them. So the high salinity areas, disease has pounded them for years. And so what's left there seems to be developing some tolerance. So if you move a less tolerant seed there, and say you move them in the winter, when that's when our season for seed is open, they would still have time to spawn before they die from disease. So you would conceivably actually lower the resistance of your native population that's developed some resistance because their offspring would then be into the to the area, and before they die from disease, they will breed with one that's developed resistance. Can't tell an orchard who to breed with, so you get what you get. They throw the sperm and egg in the water. The other thing about James River seed is they're notoriously soft-shelled, and this is a very active Cano's Ray area, so you'd be risking everything. You'd be just a sitting duck for Cano's Ray there.
Mr. Prince.
Yes, so this would be something that she would not recommend, would you say?
Not moving, we would, no matter who had this or whatever, you would not recommend moving any James River seed there.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Dr. Wesson. Mr. Varnell, do you have anything to add from VIMS's perspective?
Well, I certainly wouldn't disagree with Dr. Wesson. He's hit all the points. What I would add is it is extremely high hydrologic energy area. And just on bottom traditional would be concerned about that. I think that's a pretty high concern from that perspective. So that's all I have unless there's any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Stagg? I have a question.
Yes.
In all your records books going back the last almost 120 years, has this area ever been leased for the purposes of propagating shellfish?
No, and I'll caveat that by saying there is a lease, right, that wraps around these that's been there for decades, or combination of leases. That, but no, this particular area where these applications are, I'm not aware has ever been leased.
Mr. Zetron.
That lease that you're talking about has been there. Is there any record of any productivity on it?
I think possibly way, way long ago. It's been when it was combined that made it a new lease, so they got another 10 years. But I'm not aware. I don't know that, Jim. I don't think that there's been much activity.
Thank you.
And by the way, these, you may have heard me talk about Bay Ground in the past. There are three kinds of leases. The riparian, well, there's four, the bathing ground, that's swimming ground. Riparians, regular leases, and bay leases in the code. Bay leases have to be entirely in water that's 15 feet or deeper. None of these are. These are all regular. These are not considered bay leases. They pay a lower rate for rent, for one thing, but none of these are completely over 15 feet. They have some areas in them. So these are all just regular leases like you see me bring before you all the time. These are not bay leases. Some of those offshore that to the north are actually bay leases. They pay 75 cents per acre per year instead of $1.50. That's all in the code. But I just, in case that was a question somebody might have. The depths here, as you can see, you can't see through the applications, but you know it's pretty shallow, and there's some deeper spots, and of course you have a channel here, but there are parts of all of these that are less than, have some part that's less than 50.
So if it's never been leased, it's presumably never been dredged.
Yes, I would assume that's true.
And this is right next to an Air Force bombing range that was in active use for at least 50 years.
Well, that's why you have a danger zone there. There, occasionally you read about somebody finding something out there.
I know a bit about that.
In the water. That's an unexploded ordnance. Whether it would really still explode?
Yes.
Is the potential. But we did stay off of that, but we're right up against it.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stack. Mr. Martin?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward, sir. I need to swear you in. It's required. Do you swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
John Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
And after hearing everybody, I think I'm wasting y'all's time by even trying to get this lease. I mean, had I not thought it would be a success, I wouldn't put a lot of money into it. But, you know, the way I feel from hearing Mr. Skaggs and Dr. Wesson, you know, I'm wasting your time.
Well, if you're saying you'd like to withdraw the whole
I withdraw the lease because my application, because I think I'm wasting your time.
Well, it's not a matter of wasting our time. It's whether or not it's a waste of your resources.
Well, you know, I'm not trying to be smart, but if I thought that I was going to put money out there and lose it, I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, I'm tired. It's next to a oyster ground that Ballard Oyster Company's had there for probably 50 years. He grew oysters there. He planted them from the James River. And so, you know, if you go further up the bay, they're growing from the James River.
I think from staff's perspective, their warning is about a salinity level here. Yeah. That makes it a little difficult. Mr. Martin, it's not wasting any of our time here. And if you were here this morning, you will see there are times when staff gives their recommendation, the commission has a different path to take. So, I mean, please feel free. If you want to proceed, if you think this is a viable project for you, come along. Bring it along.
I think it's viable. I think that my intentions and our intentions was to plant seed from the James River. We're going to start probably next year growing oysters from spats and putting cages and so forth on there.
Okay.
And I guess in the protest they said we had a monopoly, but we don't have no monopoly. I mean, we just, when we start getting oyster ground, nobody else wanted it. Everybody else was releasing it. So we got it. And our intentions was to buy oysters and sell oysters.
And that, I presume, is still your intention.
That's still my intention.
Right. Okay.
Whether I get this or not, that's going to still be my intention.
Okay. What else do you think the commission should know?
Well,
you absolutely may be heard. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please state your name for the record.
Anthony Wayne Martin.
Welcome, sir.
To start with, I don't know as far as Ballard. He planted oysters down on the way he was getting from there before me. But later on, they planned that every day from like 82 to 89, 90. There were clams in, the guy used to watch that.
Billy Graham.
Yeah, the Graham man was an overseer. He made sure everybody was in their right place and all. But around Plumtree, as far off as we've got, there's nothing off there but sand and shells. I mean, and it's rocks if you want to get the sand and the sediment off the top of it. There is stuff there. You just have to go in there. And nobody's been clamming there since we quit, and that was in 86.
Okay.
So it was clammed in there. We could go there when the wind was blowing from the west, we'd get right on the shore and have a good day. But since then, it's all been worked up. The other thing, where that channel is, you could stop it there, but it's that's a small boat channel. That's not a shipping channel.
Right.
The shipping channel is to the east of that. I forget what they call that. I know the other one is Baltimore Channel.
Oh, yeah.
To the east. I don't know what the name of this one is, but I do know it's a small boat channel, nothing but tugs and trawlers from the seaport. Other than that, and I don't know why everybody was protesting. I mean, it didn't like we're going to do something that's going to stop anybody from doing what they're doing already. I'd be You can't go inside where you've got it marked off. That's where the danger poles are put up. You're not supposed to be inside of that. If you did offshore, the danger poles, well, it's too deep to tread or to break. So you can't do that. The angle stop, nobody can gill net. They put the gill nets there, the crab pots. All sands, I know the dries, the Inslee's. Well, we have a problem with them going in there. I was moving the stakes off. I've got the buoys made. I've got the anchors made out of concrete to put there in place. We've got most of the stuff. What I was originally, we got 1,100 acres above the ships in James River. What I wanted to do was transplant from there. Once we get a nice bed down, then my brother's going to start growing stack. And that's what we're going to try to put there to grow. Whether it works or not, I don't know. But that's the whole idea of why we went and got this to start with.
Okay. That's all. Okay. Don't wander away, please, sir. There might be some questions from the commission. There are questions from the commission. Mr. Zedrin.
I've got several. Why that particular configuration of land in that location?
That's what y'all give us.
All right. If we were to grant you one of those leases and then continue the applications and a period where you could show us or demonstrate what your plan is and whether it works, which parcel would it be?
Really, as far as this part in here, these two, I'm not real. They're right on the 5 and 6 foot water mark. It's kind of too shoal for what I had in mind. That one. Going offshore and stop right there where that channel goes through. That would be deep enough the way I think. You know, we could do what we wanted to do. It wouldn't be endangering anybody.
All right, but if you pick one of those parts, because those are 250 acres apiece, right? Mm-hmm. Which parcel would you take?
Any one of the three long ones.
Okay.
Off Airway Ballot's got that. It's iron ore and sand there. That's all it is offshore there. Got to get to the east of that before you ever hit rocks. Down below here, right in this area, is where the old rock, that's where we used to work, Pat and Tom Flanagan. So I know it's rocks there. I mean, they're there. They just have, they've been covered up with sediment. That's the same way all the ground that we have in the back river. You have to go there and drag 3 or 4 hours before you'll ever start catching shells because of the sediment and stuff that's just settled there. Everybody says the rock's sinking. It's not sinking. Sediment's just filling over top of it. Not all the way inshore. I ain't all in for that because I think it's too shoal. I think it'll stay too hot. The ones going further off is the ones that, like, if I could get in, that would be it.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be satisfied if we granted you we're going to talk about the long parcels from the bottom. I'm going to say that's A is the first long one and B, C. So if we granted you A and B and continued the applications on the rest until you could demonstrate, that would give you 500 acres about to demonstrate the productivity of that parcel. And then, like I say, by continuing the other applications, it still gives you first right. And if you demonstrate what you say, then we could consider giving you all the parcels.
Okay.
Okay.
Which would probably in our – that would probably be better because you wouldn't be having to pay the rent on the whole thing. Just a little bit of it's going to be what you're going to have to. And if it doesn't work at all, I mean, you know, I don't know it. But I do know it's nice ground back there. The clams we used to get taste better than any place I've ever eaten. Mm. Really, really, really. And it's just it was a thought me and him was talking about. He went up in Charter. Then he's trying to rent the whole back way.
Are there other questions? Other questions from the commission? Thank you, gentlemen. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of these applications? Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to these applications? Let me ask again. Is there anybody here that wants to say anything about these applications? I see no one. The public hearing is now closed. As a result, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Other questions, Mr. Deal?
SAV.
We don't believe there's any SAV involved in these applications. There's some inshore that you're going to Back River, but not out this far out.
Mr. Zedra.
What are the numbers of the applications?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, if he didn't, I was.
You could identify which ones you wanted to prove. I'll figure out which numbers they are. When I printed this, it won't print them all on there for some reason. I don't know why it didn't. It only picked one. But
I'm interested in the first long parcel from the bottom and the second long parcel from the bottom.
So those parcels look to be basically up to 4 feet in depth.
Mm-hmm. I think we could identify them just by location. I can sort the number out later. If that's after we really identify them that way from the map that we did, but they don't show up on this map. But I think you're talking about they were indicating the three long ones.
I'm talking about two.
The first two.
These two?
Yes.
Okay. I think you could make a motion. We'll get the numbers straight. But the two most western, not the two inshore, but the next two offshore.
Yes.
Rectangles.
Yes.
Are they 250 acres apiece?
Yes.
Is there any problem with continuing the other applications until such time we want to rule on them?
Refer to your legal counsel on that one. Martins. You know, at staff level, we have a little heartburn of just having applications hang on the books that are unresolved, but there's no reason we can't.
I don't think there's any, canal mail.
They're already 2 years old.
There's no, deadline for granting them or anything, so I think you're fine with continuing them.
Other discussion? Mr. Neal.
I guess I'm back to Dems, Dr. Wesson kind of thing. Is it the scientific opinion that we have the potential to do harm to the Chesapeake Bay oyster population by moving James River oysters out into the main bay?
Dr. Wesson, it's a good question.
That would be yes. And the question on, why the Ballard Grant out there in the deep water was good, well, that was pre-MSX. You're talking about, we lose track of time. I mean, we're talking about moving James River seed prior to MSX getting here in 1951, and they've held that since that time, that those all those places. And that truly was, that was one of the breadbaskets of private production, that offshore, those deep water grounds that they moved James River seed to those bay grounds. But it doesn't work now.
Dr. Wesson, before you wander off, let me ask a follow-up there so that I understand. It's your professional opinion here that seed oysters from the James River won't work here. Those oysters will die. I got that correct?
They will die, yes. If you wanted to put something there, you would either do hatchery-produced, disease-tolerant oysters that could withstand disease. So there are things you could plant that with. And in the long run, it would be cheaper for you because they wouldn't die from just the moving. I mean, so you got several bad things for the resource. You're spreading disease in an area that we may be developing some tolerance. You're spreading a genetic material that may make disease be more potent by just moving the natural selection that's going on a few steps backward. And you're taking resource from an area that they're fine and producing spawn for the local area in the James if you don't take them and kill them. So it's two different things that you're doing.
All right, so that I'm sure what you're saying here is that you leave them in the James River, they have a chance of survival and having some beneficial use in the James River. But here, they don't stand a very good chance of surviving, and they could delete the gene pool that's already there of oysters that, in effect, would impact that localized area only.
Right.
You wouldn't see some spreading type of situation with that.
No.
Okay, now I understand.
No, you're not taking a sick animal. You're taking a less tolerant animal.
Yeah.
But spreading those genes could spread through the bay,
right?
Because they just transmit their stuff into the currents.
Other discussion? Mrs. Kelm.
Another question for Dr. Wesson. Sorry. If Mr. Martin decided, they mentioned spat on shell too, if they wanted to lease that just for spat on shell, would that cause any problems whatsoever?
Right, for their bank account, but not for enough work.
Thank you.
It's like Lyle mentioned, it's a very dynamic area.
Other questions from the commission? Commission operates on motions.
Identify the leases if you want to pick two.
Yeah, I noticed you already did.
Well, my motion would be to accept staff recommendation.
I'd second that.
Discussion. Okay, so that's a motion by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Zedron. Here, staff recommendation to deny all the lease applications. Discussion on that motion. Mrs. Cohen.
Just wondering if staff could work with the Martins to maybe find other grounds that would be suitable for what they're trying to accomplish.
We're always willing to work. The Martins have a lot of ground already. They have ground in Back River and other places, but not ground like this, not out in the bay. I mean, we're always willing to work with them. That's why our recommendation was denial with the caveat that should the commission want to grant one or two of these, to let them try, which we just had this discussion about. You know, that's our kind of secondary recommendation, but we initially really are recommending denial because we really think this is a high financial risk with not much hope of success.
Thank you.
Mr. Cedra.
The reason I second this because of what Dr. Neal brought up here, we don't need to be creating problems affecting our oysters, and what we heard here today is that you're going to be harming or lessening the productivity in the James River and possibly causing a hazard in the bay. And that's why I'm seconding this motion. Originally, I was going to move to let them have a couple parcels and see it. But what we're really doing, is, if that happens, then we'll affect the whole oyster population in the bay. So that's why I second it.
I understand that. Let me say my position on all this. I'm mostly with you guys on this. But from my perspective here, it's not up to me to make a judgment on a financial decision the Martins might make. I would find that transplanting seed is probably not a wise idea, but they would learn pretty quickly if that was not viable. If there would be impact to what little oysters are out there naturally, I believe that it would be a pretty locally confined impact from what I understand about oyster reproduction. Spat sets within 10 to 14 days of the spawning period, so it really doesn't get all that far. So to that end, I would have no objection personally here to give them 250 or 500 acres and wish them luck with the full expectation that transplanting seed oysters is probably not going to work. That's just where I'm coming from.
I don't care what the Martins do with their money, and so that's fine. But if there is a chance where we could harm the viable oyster population in the bay, I, that's not a chance I'm willing to take.
Okay. Any other input? Any other discussion? We have a motion here by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Zedron, here to accept staff recommendation to deny all the lease applications.
We'll make one other discussion point. This goes back to this use plan stuff, and so basically my objection is that is because of how they were planning on using this, where I would not have an objection if they had a different use plan that had them getting oysters from different locations and we didn't have any scientific objections to it. And so I would say they could come back with a different plan for this area in the future and without these objections. My objection is purely out of concern, not out of their, I'm not worried about their pocketbook, it's the resource.
This is why we also had the caveat in the recommendation that, you know, you could have submitted a joint permit application here if you deny all these for some other type of aquaculture type activity without a lease. So, I mean, different cages or something, they could go through the joint permit application process too.
And that's not a burdensome process.
No.
Any other discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes no. The motion passes 6-1. Mr. Martin, the commission just voted here 6-1 here to deny your applications, but there is an avenue forward for you with a joint permit application if you want to do some caged aquaculture out there. It's a permit that would be available with a public interest review. It's not locking you off completely.
In other words, plant. Put oysters on with cages.
That would be an option for you to consider here through a normal permitting process for us. Oh, and before you leave, just one thought. It's taken 2 years to get to this point. I very much understand your frustration. I share that frustration. Let me tell you that there's been a run on oyster leases now for the last 3 or 4 years. In a normal year, Mr. Stagg and his department would process 80 to 90 oyster lease applications. The last few years, it's been 300 to 350. Needless to say, staff hasn't increased in size, except maybe around the girth a little bit, in all that time. So it has taken longer. My apologies for that, to take so long to get to this point, but we can only do what we can do with the resources that are available.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you both for coming.
Thank you.